And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. All my life, I have studied foreign policy. From the time I was a little boy, you know, I was quite poor and didn't have a lot of games. We couldn't afford even a Monopoly game, and not even checkers. We just had nothing, but I always had a pencil or something, about one pencil in our house, and somehow I'd get scratch paper. And I invented my own games when I was a little boy. And one of my favorites was World War III. And I would set up a map and create names of nations and have situations. And I would show what each nation had in terms of military armaments, how many ships and tanks and aircraft each had, how many bombers and how many bombs, what kinds. And it got very intricate. I remember later on in the Air Force, when I was an instructor at the University of Texas, associate professor there of aerospace science, I created a similar game called the World War III game. And our cadets, you know, our students that were going to be officers, as seniors, I had them play this game. And it was quite interesting to see these seniors. I had two teams set up, and they played World War III against each other. And it was always fun to see who would win and what strategies and tactics they used. Well, most of you know that I was an Air Force officer and retired after 20 years. So, you know, had a lot of exciting times and was stationed in some interesting places in Southeast Asia. During the Vietnam War, 2 years, I earned the Vietnam Service Medal. And, of course, I also went to Okinawa, Japan, the Philippines, and so forth. And I ended up here at the University of Texas at Austin. But before that, I went all over the United States. And, oh, my goodness, I went over to Europe. I had two tours over there in Aviano, Italy, then in Germany, in Wiesbaden, Germany. And so I knew a little bit about war tactics and, you know, from the different plans we had there, that I suppose I shouldn't discuss even now, some of the things we did. But we were in communications electronics, and we set up the communications for Henry Kissinger, I remember, when he was speaking with the Soviet Union in Helsinki. We set up all of his communications, and it's interesting, the story we got from direct from Kissinger back to the White House on our sensitive communications equipment that was coded so that, you know, no one else would know what it said. But what he was sending back to the White House was very different from what he was telling the world's press. And again, that didn't surprise me much, but it just showed me what we put forward as our face to the world. In other words, we use total propaganda, and then we do something different in private. This has always been the case. World War II, of course, if you read the official histories of World War II, boy, what lies are told. Everything from the Holocaust that did not happen to the murder. Yes, I said murder of General George Patton. Well, now we're in a different era, right? We're in an era in which the United States is the big boy of the world. We're the superpower. Maybe the only superpower, you know, our president, Barack Obama, spoke at the United Nations just a couple of weeks ago. He said that the United States has the greatest military in the world. He told that I think many of those nations have intelligence services, and they know that he was telling the truth. Now, of course, we're spending billions of dollars for our military forces. We have secret high-tech labs developing nuclear weapons, new nuclear weapons, all kinds of Star Wars things that are just amazing. Well, we're also using the old warfare, especially in the Middle East. Now, today I want to talk to you about what we're doing in the world, and especially in the Middle East. And it's going to surprise you, because what I'm going to tell you is not what the press has told you. You know, if you believe the press, you'd be pretty mixed up. The old saying about being as confused and mixed up as a termite in a yo-yo is true. Because you listen to the news, and every night it's something different. So we're going to talk about ISIS, who founded ISIS, Syria, the nation of Syria, the Ukraine, Northern Africa, that would be Libya and other countries, the Sudan, Egypt, and others. And then we're going to talk about Iraq, the Kurds, and all kinds of things. Now, I'm going to be very precise and very careful in what I tell you, because if you haven't studied this very, very much, you're going to be quite confused. And if you listen to the press, you'll say, wow, was I ever told a bunch of lies? Now, why is what I'm telling you true? Because it is true. And because I don't have any reason to lie to you. Now, the government of the United States has every reason to lie to you, because they want the resources of Africa and the Middle East, gold, diamonds, and oil, particularly in the Middle East. They want these resources, and they really don't want to pay a lot for them, so they'd like to just take them. But there's more than that. There is insane religious ideologies. Let me repeat that. There are insane religious ideologies. Now, the United States itself does not have strange religious ideologies, but our so-called ally in the Middle East, Israel, does have strange and bizarre ideas. You see, when you believe that you are a chosen people of God, the only chosen of God, and when your most holy book, the Talmud and the Kabbalah, another holy book of the Jews, the Talmud, which they hold in deeper admiration than even the Bible, the Old Testament, and when they're told in their Talmud, and they believe it, and they pass it on, they transmit this same message to their youth, those youth grow up and believe that, number one, Israel shall be the headquarters of the whole earth, that Israel shall have a world court, and it will have judges in the Sanhedrin who will make decisions affecting all of mankind. They believe, too, that their Israel will become a greater Israel. It will expand to take all, practically all, of the Middle East. But it will continue to expand. It will be the greater, greater, greater Israel. And according to the Yinan plan, that's one plan, it eventually will encompass the entire globe, including the United States. To accomplish this, what the Jews call tikkun olam, the reordering, the mending, the fixing, the rehabilitation of this planet. That's what tikkun olam means. And of course, they're busy on it right now. They're performing tikkun olam. And they believe their God, in the form of a great serpent, will help them to mend this world and to take over it and conquer it. So it is a Jewish New World Order that they're expressing. Now, we've all heard the term New World Order, and many of us believe that it began with George Herbert Walker Bush, but it began much, much before that, as I've shown you. And the term New World Order actually comes out of the satanic occult world. Okay, so keep that in mind, the New World Order. Now, the Jews are very, attached to this New World Order. And they believe that Jerusalem shall be the capital. At the same time, they've given the United States authority to set up a commercial embassy in Baghdad. But we'll get into that in a little while. But what I want you to know is Israel wants to expand out. Now, they were only given by the United States and the Soviet Union, their two design partners, they were only given a small sliver of land by Truman and Stalin in 1948. From that small sliver of land in Palestine, they have expanded to take over the entire Middle East. Now, notice the Jewish flag, the flag of Israel. They have, of course, the six-pointed star in the middle, and that is the Rothschild shield. It is not the Star of David. David never used it. The Old Testament, David proclaimed his shield, his standard was the shield of God, the shield of the Lord. But we do know in the book of Acts that the first Christian martyr, Stephen, exposed that star as the star of Moloch, Kiun, and Rimphan. Who were those three gods? They were the ancient Egyptian deities. Behind them all was a great god Saturn, the sixth planet from the sun, Satan, Lucifer. That was the real god that the Jews worshipped when they left Egypt. And it is the god represented on the six-pointed star. The six-pointed star is made up of two triangles, one superimposed on the top of another, indicating the fact that Satan in Isaiah 12 through 14 says, I will be like the Most High. In fact, he says he will conquer the Most High. He will bring together heaven and hell. And thus we have two triangles, one heaven, one hell. Those two come together. It is also the sign of the holy sex act that is so honored in the Jewish faith. They believe in a multiple of deities, including the great goddess and the god, which they depict as two great serpents, Leviathan and Behemoth. These two continually have sex with one another. And that is a little small picture of the Jewish religion. But in the flag, on either side of the Star of David, the top and the bottom, running across it horizontally, you will see two lines, two blue lines. What are those lines? What do they indicate? They indicate that the great kingdom of Israel shall be expanded. One of the lines is for the great river Euphrates that runs through Baghdad. The other is the Nile River that runs through Egypt. So they believe they will go on down into Egypt and conquer that nation, and they will have their boundary there as the Nile. Then they will go northward, conquering Iraq, and their northern boundary there will be the Euphrates. So we know this is the plan, and this they've actually expressed it in their flag, a flag that was, by the way, designed by the Rothschild family. Now, what can Israel, a small country of 7.5 million Jews, a small, tiny nation that probably, I don't know how many, but probably would 10 Israels would fit into one state of Texas. That's how small it is. How could they possibly be so strong? Well, Prime Minister Mayater, the Prime Minister of the nation of Malaysia in Asia, at a conference some years ago, said the Jews rule the world by proxy. They use other nations to do their bidding. Particularly, he indicated, the United States. If the United States is the greatest superpower in the world, and if you control the United States through kosher politics, through its banking system, through its media, through its culture, its academics, if you can take a small number of people and control the whole nation, then you can use that nation to go forth and become your proxy to conquer the world. This is what has been going on in the Middle East, in Europe, and around the world. Of course, we have conquered Germany. We did that for the Jews. You can read the book, The Bad War, by M.S. King, or his ministry, and discover why we went to war with Germany in the first place. It wasn't because Hitler was a bad man. It was because the Jews sought to destroy Hitler, conquer Germany, ruin their culture, and be the kingmakers of Europe. They also sought to destroy Russia. In 1917, Lenin and Trotsky, two Jews, were able to pull off a revolution in Russia. They massacred the family of the Tsar, and then they proceeded to kill. Solzhenitsyn says some 66 million people were Christians. Now, thanks to the Cold War, Russia has been defeated. And something amazing happened about the time of Boris Yeltsin. Boris Yeltsin was president of Russia, but he was also a drunk, an alcoholic. The oligarchy, the rich men, came in, the billionaires, and they took over the country of Russia. They took over its banking, and the people were left with nothing. This was along in the late 80s. Now, what happened? Well, Yeltsin died, and Putin became president. And Putin has been a strong man. And Putin has not been a lapdog like Yeltsin. He has sought to restore the integrity and the power of the great United Soviet Socialist Republics, but in a diplomatic way, in a democratic way. He has stood for election numerous times. And Putin is the most popular man in all of Russia. He got 89% of the vote last time. Previous to that, he got over 90% of the vote. Now, when has the president of the United States ever got 80 or 90% of the vote? Never. Obama won with maybe 53%, and usually it's even closer than that. So he's very popular in Russia. Now, why is he popular? Because he took over a very poor country that was impoverished by the United States and Israel, and he began to arrest and to kick out the oligarchs. He took the Jewish oligarchs, the ones who control the banks, the transportation system, the oil companies, the gold companies, the hotel industry. He took these Jewish and American monsters who had so just denuded the Soviet Union, now known as Russia, and he arrested them. He used his taxpayer authorities of the our equivalent of the Internal Revenue Service, and he took them to jail. Borisovsky and others, many of them fled to Israel and to Great Britain, a few to the United States, where they could cheat people and steal their money in peace. So the Jews, the billionaires, fled the country of Russia. Now, he particularly liberated the oil companies. So the oil and gas companies of Russia now belong to real people, to shareholders. And they don't have to do what the Americans and the Israelis tell them to do. So Russia has become a more free and open society. The amazing thing is that Israel and the United States have done everything they could to stop Putin, but he continues to gain strength, and he is certainly one of the most powerful men in Russia, and maybe now the world, because he has brought back the Russian army, and he has given them arms. And the thing about it is, too, he is a very crafty guy. He's a former executive, you might say, of the Russian equivalent of the CIA, the KGB. It's changed its name now. So just as we had a president, George Herbert Walker Bush, who had been director of the Central Intelligence Agency, in Russia, they have a president who was head of their KGB. So for some reason, this has given him special insight into world powers. His main theme in Russia has been to rebuild the Russian economy, which he has done, to rebuild the Russian military, which he has done, and finally, to strengthen and rebuild the Russian churches, which he has done. He actually made laws in Russia and got them passed through the Russian Duma, which is their parliament, which says that homosexuals will not recruit young people. Wow. They will not use propaganda to convert young people to their insane way of life. Now, the homos are angry over this. They also cannot publicly exhibit their outrageous behavior, you know, like these gay pride parades and all that. Wow, that was amazing. Now, he had some Jews that complained about this. In fact, these Jews got a girl group together, a girl music group. And just as in America, when we have these filthy, dirty rap singers and others that come on TV and show us those horrible demonstration of Illuminati symbols and sexual deprivations, in Russia, there were similar groups. He told those groups to straighten up and to be modest and to stop their obscenity. One group was a Jewish group. It was named, and I'm sorry to even tell you the name of it, but it was called Pussy Riot. This group made fun of Putin, made fun of Russia, made fun of Christianity. They stomped into churches during worship service and began playing their instruments and singing loudly their evil songs. They had got away with this kind of stuff in the United States. but not in Russia. Putin had them arrested and put in prison. And this gave the signal to all such groups that they were finished in Russia. He also called on the Russian monks and priests, and he had public displays with them in which he said, "We honor Christianity. I will defend the Christian church around the world." Now, since Obama basically says the Christian church can go to hell, we have a big difference here, do we not? Between a man who says, "I want to protect and defend the Christian church around the world," and a man who says gay rights are more important than religious Christian rights. That's what Obama just recently said. Obama and his Jewish and Catholic Supreme Court says, well, same-sex marriage is fine with us, but not in Russia. Same-sex marriage is not okay in Russia. So we have a reputed homosexual in office in America, and then we have a Christian in charge in office in Russia. Now, you can see the great divide there, because the culture of America is deteriorating, is going to hell in the handbasket. But the culture in Russia is growing in strength because of its Christian roots that are being fostered by Vladimir Putin. Now, at the same time, Israel and the United States have got their heads together and determined how they were going to rule the world. There are only a few nations, such as Russia and their ally, by the way, also our ally, but a very leery one, Red China. Red China also does not wish to be dictated to by the world's sole and remaining superpower, the United States. So Red China does not agree with the United States on its foreign policy, and they often go along instead with Russia. Now, also there are other nations, a few strange ones, Iran, Syria, and Zimbabwe, and then, of course, North Korea. Now, the greatest of these are, of course, Russia and China, followed by Iran and Syria. Now, what is going on now? It's simply this, that in the early 90s, a group was formed made up of neocon Jews and their favored Gentile bootlickers. Let's just call them bootlickers. One of whom is Jeb Bush, now running for president. They formed an organization called the Project for a New American Century. Basically, the Project for a New American Century said in the 21st century, America will lead the world. Now, the real meaning of that is America will rule the world, but Israel shall rule over America. If Israel, in its 2.5% of the American population, can control the colleges and universities, can control the media, can control the court system, the Supreme Court and so forth, if it can control the military and cause a revolution of thinking in the military, if it can control the politics and turn them into kosher politics, which it has done, if it can control especially the corporations and the banking system, then in controlling America, it will control the world. And that is exactly what has happened. Please read my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and see exactly who controls, who runs America. Now, what is their plan? Their plan, of course, is first of all to convince Europe to go along with their thinking. So they have placed Jews or Jewish favored politicians in high places. For example, in France, in Great Britain. Both in France and Britain, there's a Jew in charge. We have Angela Merkel, who many say is a Jew, in Germany. These have been forced to go along with the plan of the Project for the New American Century. And what is their plan? Their plan, of course, is to run the world by running the Middle East. Run the world by running the Middle East. To do that, they must conquer all the nations of the Middle East. But not just conquer them, leave them hopeless, helpless, in a state of continual chaos and perpetual motion. And that is exactly what has happened. First, they came up with 9/11. Yes, this was done by Israel, reading about the dancing Israelis from New Jersey that filmed the whole thing. Read about what happens there. But you know what happened in 9/11. I don't have to go over it again. But the fact is, the Israeli Mossad, working with the American CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the White House of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney were able to pull off 9/11 and blame it on 19 poor, desperate Arabs. They blamed it on those Arabs. But what we know now is that those aircraft had black boxes on them, electronic boxes, and they told those aircraft where to go. And that's just the truth. And it was run by Dick Cheney. Now, 9/11 meant that over 3,000 Americans died in those buildings and at the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. And those people not only died, but we lied about who killed them. But be that as it may, it fired the American people up. When George W. Bush says, we're going to get back at these people, we're going to go back on them. Where were they? Who were they? It turns out of the 19 Arabs, 17 of them were Saudi Arabians. That's because they were all part of the CIA operation, and they came from Saudi Arabia. Well, we didn't want to blame Saudi Arabia for the attack. We didn't want to let anybody know that for sure that it was Israel. And so we said it was some poor guy living in a cave 10,000 miles away called Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden, of course, said he did not do it, and that there was a secret group formed inside the United States that accomplished this thing. He was exactly correct, of course. But we said, we're going to go look for Osama bin Laden. And then we suddenly let everybody know, we know where he's at. He's hiding in the mountains of Afghanistan. And so we then determined that we would attack Afghanistan. So we did attack Afghanistan. What did we do in Afghanistan? We stole the resources, the copper, the uranium that we're now selling to the Red Chinese. But more than that, we put in the poppy fields. And now Afghanistan is the world's number one heroin dealer. And it's our CIA and our military that's running all of the heroin for the whole world from our opium poppy fields in Afghanistan. And of course, we've killed many Taliban. But there's been no trace of Osama bin Laden. We finally found the guy after years and years of fighting in Afghanistan. We find him just living with his wives in a house right next to a military base in Pakistan. And we went in and took him out, supposedly. Our SEAL Team 6. We took him out. But nobody's ever seen his body. The United States claimed it was dumped in the sea. Was it? No, of course not. He was already dead years before that. He died of a kidney infection. Who was that that they killed? Some poor slob that they ran into and they got and they killed in Pakistan. So we invaded Afghanistan, but Osama bin Laden wasn't even there. But Osama bin Laden never did one crime. He was a CIA agent who had worked with the CIA fighting the Russians in Afghanistan many decades before. So we conquered Afghanistan. And then Bush and Cheney said, we must go and conquer Iraq. Why? They had nothing to do with 9/11. Well, because they have nuclear weapons. And there will be mushroom clouds all over America. How is that? They had no bombers. They had no missiles. They had no way to deliver those nuclear weapons, even if they had had them. No way to bring them to America. But we still were going to go and take out Saddam. Why? He had nothing to do with 9/11. But we got them. We conquered Iraq. We killed 500,000 Iraqis. We destroyed half their country. It was worth it. Why? I don't know. Does anybody know why it wasn't worth it? Because a few years later, we allowed the ISIS people to come in, and the ISIS warriors have now taken about half of Iraq. Wow. And now Afghanistan is being lost. We're losing one city, one town after another to the Taliban. We've lost Iraq. We've lost Afghanistan, or we're about to. All of it for nothing. Thousands of American soldiers mutilated, dead, for nothing. Trillions of dollars spent for nothing. Well, there is something that's been won. Israeli hegemony. Israeli superiority. Israeli ascendance in the world. And we'll talk about that when we return on the other side. You're listening to Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy. The war against Putin. What the government media complex is not telling you about Russia. We've got this book. It's an outstanding book. Now, its cost is $17. Just $17. It's a big book. It's only 102 pages, but it's equivalent to maybe a 250-page book. A lot of information in it about the rise of Vladimir Putin, about his success in governing, and about the ongoing dispute with the United States. You'll find out all these things that I've told you. Also, you'll find out why he came to power and how he kicked out the Western and the Jewish oligarchs. Why he is so hated by the Jews. Why they accuse him of being a tyrant, another Hitler, a madman, a dictator. But all he is a Christian. All he is a man who defends Christianity. We know of no one that he's killed. We know of no country that he's invaded. We know of nothing. But we have to call him names. We have to tell the American people, this is a madman. This is a horrible man. He's a monster. But he's not. And you'll find out the truth from this book written by researcher M.S. King, The War Against Putin. It's the only book I know like it because you're being lied to. If you watch Fox News every night, you're being lied to. You're being told wild and woolly things about Putin. None of them are true. We're going to set the record straight here today, but I want to offer you this book from the ministry. $17. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $22. Ask for The War Against Putin. Here's our phone number. Call and get this book at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or TexMars.com. Order the book. I believe we even have an ad on display on our webpage, so you can read about the book. It has many pictures in it, by the way. Very interesting pictures. I think you'll enjoy it. I always enjoy the truth. I enjoy when history is revised with the truth, because history is a pack of lies. Or as Henry Ford, the great industrialist, once said, history is bunk. Well, this isn't bunk. We've got the truth here for you. Thank God for it. Now, $22, that includes shipping and handling. $17 plus $5 shipping and handling. You can write to us here at Power Prophecy. Send us a check or a money order or cash for $22. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. I was sort of smiling here because, you know, we playfully call this the Republic of Texas. You know, there's an independent Texas movement. They say they have 200,000 members. I'm ready to secede. You know, the United States is not owned by the government anymore. We're owned by the Jewish neocons. That's just the truth. 50% of Americans in a recent poll admitted that they are terrified that their government is about to take our freedoms and liberties. 50% of Americans. Wow. I'll bet you a good number of those would love to secede. Now, we don't want it to end up like the Confederate versus Yankees war. No, no, we don't want to do that. You know, there were certain mistakes made there. But in fact, we can secede. There's nothing wrong with seceding. In fact, the United States was formed when the states came together and all voted. If they voted one way one time, they can vote another way another time. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They voted and agreed to come together. That doesn't make it permanent for all of history. You know, Thomas Jefferson once said he believes about every 20 years there needs to be a constitutional convention to rewrite the Constitution. Of course, now, if you got that together, they'd appoint a bunch of lackeys, a bunch of devils together. They'd rewrite the Constitution, all right. They would kick out the Bill of Rights, and we'd be left with a massive tyranny. Of course, during his day, people were willing to fight and die for truth, for the Bill of Rights. But we have a different nation now. It's been educated. It's got transgenders and homosexuals at the top. Did you know that Barack Obama just appointed Mr. Fanning, a homosexual, to be the Secretary of the Army? Head of the army, a homosexual? Goodness gracious. It's bad. It's bad. This is not the old America, folks. The old America you could be proud of. You know, once upon a time, I would go to military theaters in the Air Force, and And when they would play the national anthem to begin right before the show, I would put my hand on my heart. And sometimes I had tears in my eyes, thinking about how great America was and what it had done for me and for liberty throughout the world. And you just, you know, you had that tinge of feeling patriotic and proud. And now I think of the same-sex marriages approved by our dirty Supreme Court. I think of the pornographic movies and on and on and on. Well, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Vladimir Putin, in fact. We're talking about what America and Israel have determined they will do in coming years in the Middle East. I want you to know, so when you see headlines, you know what's really going on. Now, they believed the United States and the neocons who ran the government and behind the scenes figured that America was so strong, so powerful, had such a high-tech weaponry in place that no one could go against the United States. And so they began. They began by attacking Iraq. And they defeated it in what, 30 days or so? They took Saddam Hussein, who had been a friend of the Christian church. And friends, every Christian church was protected. There were no Christians being harmed. Of course, now there are almost no churches in that country. You see what George W. Bush did? He destroyed the Christian churches in Iraq by killing the man who had protected them, Saddam Hussein. Now, Saddam Hussein was a dictator, but he was no more a dictator than our president is a dictator. After all, is not everybody claiming and showing and proving that Obama does what he wants? He's king? Well, he doesn't obey immigration law. He doesn't at all. He does what he wants. He says, I'm king. Why do we fault Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein was so popular that he would walk the streets of Baghdad and huge crowds would gather around him. And they would scream and holler his name. And they were so happy to see him, they wanted to try to touch him. He would jump up on the back of a pickup truck and give them a speech. And many of them had guns. Can you believe it? The Iraqis all had guns. And they would take out their guns. And some had rifles, some had pistols. And they would shoot them in the air, indicating their wild, frenzied acceptance of their president, Saddam Hussein. We don't do that in America. No, no, no. They're trying to get rid of all of our guns. If somebody pulled out a gun during a presidential rally, the Secret Service would be on that man quickly. He'd be in prison. But not Saddam Hussein. Now, we were told that Saddam Hussein is hated so much, the people want to kill him. But they didn't want to kill him at all. After he had fallen and was taken prisoner, we staged a big takedown of his statue in a square in Baghdad. No one showed up. So our 15 or 20 lackeys got rope and got pickup trucks and pulled down the statue. It lay there in the street. No one came out to demonstrate. No one was happy about it. What they wanted was for the United States forces to get out of their country. We said, we're going to remake the world. That's what Bush said. I'm going to bring democracy to the Middle East. Don't ever think we're going to bring democracy to Arab Muslim countries. They have Sharia law. They don't believe in a democracy. There is not democracy in Israel either. It is a Jewish country, and only Jews can take office. They make laws for the Jews, by the Jews, and of the Jews. That's it. If you're not a Jew, there's no democracy. There's only tyranny. Now, here's what happened. In the New York Times, an article was printed which admitted that 25 to 30 neocons ran America, cooperating with Vice President Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. They basically told America what to do. Here was their plan. First, 9/11. 9/11 would infuriate the American people so much that we would allow, in fact, we would demand that our government go in and kill who is responsible for killing these Americans. So we went in. We took Iraq, even though Iraq had nothing to do with it. We took Afghanistan, even though Afghanistan had nothing to do with it. But we haven't stopped there. There's war going on in Yemen. There's war going on in Somalia in Africa. There's a war going on, well, it's over now, but there's still killing going on in countries like Liberia, where we want the gold and the diamonds. And then, of course, there's Egypt, where even though the media is not reporting it, there's a terrible revolution going on with thousands of people being killed by our puppet leader there. We also went into Libya. We assured Gaddafi he was our friend. He got rid of, you know, any semblance of anything even related to nuclear weapons. And he offered to have our inspectors come into his country and to inspect. Instead, we chose to go in and kill him. And we left the country. We took its money. We took its gold. We took its oil. And we have left the country a decadent wreck. And now people are being killed. They lock their doors at night and terrorists are roaming the streets. Then Benghazi happened. What was Benghazi? Benghazi happened because what Benghazi was a depot, a way station for armaments that we had used in Libya to overthrow the government. And now that we had done that, then we were using them, sending them to Jordan, where we had set up bases there, and we were training ISIS troops. Let me read to you something here just interesting. Do you remember Carl Bernstein, Woodward and Bernstein, who gave us the Watergate case, Washington Post reporters? Here's what Bernstein said in 2012. At a conference, he said, quote, he was talking about the Iraqi war. He said, quote, this was an insane war that brought us low economically and morally. We went to war against a guy, Saddam Hussein, who had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. It was a total pretext. It is inexplicable. And there you go to Cheney. There you go to Bush. There you go to the Jewish neocons who wanted to remake the world. Maybe I can say that, he said, because I'm Jewish, to bring about a certain result. Yes, he did. They want to remake the world. Tikkun Olam. Remend the world. Reconstruct, revise the world for a certain result, the Jewish New World Order. 25 to 30 neocons, and they're still there today. And they're still telling Obama what to do. And when the Republican gets in, if it's not Donald Trump, or maybe even if it is, they will really have power. At the last presidential debate, when asked the question, what will America look like if you're elected president, four of the 10 candidates said, well, America and Israel will be blah, blah, blah. They're not president. They're not running for president of Israel, but they just had to bring in Israel. Ann Coulter, the writer, said, why were they pandering to Israel? Why were they pandering to Israel? How many effing Jews are there in the world? Well, she knew it wasn't the number of Jews in the world. It was their money and their power and influence. So they have to kiss up. They have to pander to Israel. Ted Cruz. Every one of them. Huckabee. Just name the guy. Kiss ups to Israel. They have to be. Now, here's what their deal is. They want to go into the Middle East and conquer the Middle East. But they don't want to set up Democrat governments. Because Democrat governments would be free, and Democrat governments would produce great economies. And then those countries may get more strong and more militarily able than Israel. Israel wants to bring these countries down, wants to bring chaos and destabilization to these countries. Think about it. We didn't want to replace Gaddafi with a Democrat. In other words, with a freedom-loving man, with a liberty-loving man. No, we want to replace him with a bunch of terrorists who'd go around killing people, and the whole country would be totally up in chaos. That's what the Jews like. They wanted all these countries, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, all of them to be destabilized. This was their plan. And finally, they would destabilize America, because America would spend its trillions of dollars to do all these wars. And then because of the refugees that came out of those countries, America would have to change its culture. And now we're having 200,000 Syrians come to the United States as refugees. Obama's bringing them over. We're changing our culture. We're becoming Muslims. When did you know of Muslims? I mean, I didn't see a Muslim mosque in my whole life. I'm 71 years of age. Now they say there's one in every city in America. There's hundreds of Islamic mosques in America. And now there's Muslims everywhere, everywhere you see them. And the women wearing their burqas and all kind of stuff in department stores and food stores. So they're one after another of these countries has been conquered and destroyed. and not built up. They're not nation building. They're nation destroying, and they leave them destroyed. They want them left destroyed, just like the Jews did Lebanon some years ago. Now, there's one problem in Lebanon, though. In southern Lebanon, they met a group, a terrorist group. They call it a terrorist group. It was a patriot group. A patriot group that fought Israel patriotically and defeated them. You didn't know about that, did you? The newspapers didn't tell you that. The TV didn't tell you that. But there was a group called Hezbollah. It still exists. Hezbollah, made up of Palestinians and other Arabs. They're patriotic. They want the Jews to leave their country. The Khazars. They want the Khazar Jews, who are not really Jews genetically. DNA science proves that. They want them to leave their country. And Hezbollah are fighters. Strong men. And Hezbollah says, we will fight you in Lebanon. And Israel attacked Lebanon, a separate country, and they lost the war. But they've hidden it. You won't see it in the American newspapers, but the Israelis know it. The Zionists know it. They're angry. And they say, we want to destroy Hezbollah. But first, we have to destroy Syria. Why? Because Syria gave the arms to Hezbollah. Syria supported Hezbollah. If they can destroy Syria, then Hezbollah will immediately fall apart. It will not have the arms. It won't have the support. So their goal has been to use the United States as their proxy to destroy Syria. Why? Because the Hezbollah fighters are in Syria and in southern Lebanon. They're supported by Syria. They call them terrorists. They're not terrorists. They're patriots. They want to destroy Syria too. They have put a target on Assad, the prime minister of Syria's head. We want his head. He's the new Haman of the 21st century. That's what they called Saddam Hussein, the Haman. The rabbis actually voted on him around the world, voted to make Saddam Hussein the Haman of the year. They have a Haman of the year they choose, their worst enemy of the Jews around the world. This year, it's Assad. They want to kill him. Now, in Iraq, we had conquered Iraq, but we weren't finished. Iraq was getting back together. It was becoming a country again. We didn't want that. And the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, when Joe Biden, they voted a bill to make Iraq into three countries. Did you know that? Joe Biden was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he and his committee voted that if we conquered Iraq, Iraq would be divided into three pieces. One would be the Republic of the Kurds in the north. To the west would be the Republic of the Sunni Muslims. And to the east, of course, would be the Shias. So the Shia Muslims to the east, then the Sunni Muslims to the west, and the Kurds to the north, divided it into three. But the Congress did not want to go along with a war just to destabilize Iraq and make it into three components. We said, that's a stupid idea. Joe Biden said, it's a great idea. Yeah, well, he didn't get his way, did he? We conquered Iraq. We wanted to make it into three nations, but Obama couldn't get enough money from Congress, couldn't get it going exactly in time, had problems. So they devised another plan. They wanted to attack Syria also, as you know. And so Obama said, what we'll do is claim that Syria has nuclear weapons, has biological and chemical weapons. And so he came out with his red line and said, oh, they've got these chemical, biological, nuclear weapons, and we've got to go in and destroy them with our air power. And just before he was going to destroy Syria, just when our airplanes were poised to strike, comes Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, he comes in, sticks his little nose in. Thank God for him. And he says, wait just a minute. Before you attack Syria, let me talk to Mr. Assad. Syria is our friend. We tried to tell Putin, no, Syria is our enemy. It's our enemy. Well, he knew why. Because Israel wanted us to attack it. And that's the only reason we would attack it. So he went to Syria, and guess what? Assad told Putin, we will get rid of our weapons, our chemical weapons. We will turn them over to the United Nations and other powers. And he did it. He turned over his chemical, biological weapons, which he didn't have very many, as it turned out. Had no nuclear weapons. He turned over all his... He cooperated in turning over these weapons. And so America and Israel got their heads together again. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what. Let's create an army. an Islamic caliphate. Let's call it ISIS. And we'll set the ISIS up. And that's what we did. We got with our friends, Turkey. We got with Jordan, Saudi Arabia. And we got them to agree. And we began to train the ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorists in the armies up in Jordan. When they got strong enough, they attacked in Syria. Then they attacked in Iraq. The Kurds fought them. They hadn't done anything in the Kurd area, but they captured the Sunni area. They captured over half of Iraq. Why did they capture it? Because we told the Iraqi generals, turn over all your weapons to them. Can you believe that? The Iraqi generals turned over all their weapons, all their tanks, all their guns to ISIS. And they went over into the eastern section, the Shiites. So that's what happened with ISIS. We set up ISIS. They're our army. We sponsored them. And we gave them over half of Iraq. And then we told them, we want you now to attack Syria. And there they were in western Iraq. So they attacked Syria. It's a very next door country. They attacked Syria. They attacked from Turkey. They attacked from Jordan. And we're spending all our money and sending arms in there. We have spent billions and given it to the ISIS. Do you think, oh, they had all those Toyota trucks with those machine guns on them? Where do you think they got all those Toyota trucks? We've given them every weapon they've got. And the jihadis, the leaders of these groups, are mostly American and Israelis. They're Americans. They're Israelis. They're leading ISIS. And then we claimed ISIS is killing people. They're cutting off the heads of Americans. They're killing Yazidis. And we faked all these films to make it look like they were really doing it. To scare Americans. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, well, if they're killing Americans, if they're cutting off the heads of Christians, we've got to stop this ISIS. We've got to stop them. Why? Let's send our Air Force over. Let's start fighting them. And guess what? Obama was happy to do it. So he sent over our Air Force. Our Air Force starts bombing. But he didn't bomb ISIS. He's bombing Syria. Now that's how he's fighting Syria. We're at war with Syria. We're at war with Syria, and we've been at war with Syria now for 4 years. That's why Obama, in one of his weaker moments, asked about ISIS and said, oh, they're just a junior varsity, the JV. Because we control them. We tell them what to do. They would evaporate overnight if it wasn't for America's support. And by the way, we also give billions of dollars to Turkey. So Turkey takes its Air Force in and starts bombing Syria. You get that? Turkey is bombing Syria. Syria has lost half of its territory. Syria has lost half of its population. Its cities are bombed out. Still Assad holds on. He's a brave man. He's a good man. But Fox News will tell you, well, he's killed 300,000 of his people. No, he's fought the ISIS armies run by America and Israel. And they've killed the 300,000. That's the truth. So ISIS still exists. It's run by America and Israel. It operates from Jordan. It operates from Iraq. And the Turkey Air Force is helping it. And by the way, where's Turkey getting all of its armaments, all of its bombs, all of its aircraft? From the United States. We have an Air Force base in Sirlik, in Turkey. I've sent many troops there as a commanding officer. We have an air base there. Now, for 4 years, we've sent our airplanes over. But Obama says, I don't want to send, you know, people on the ground. He thought ISIS would take care of it for him. But Syria is fighting hard. But now Russia says, you know what? Syria is about to fall. Assad can't take much more. We Russians must go in to help them. Now, all this time, Obama has been claiming that ISIS is a horrible force, horrible, monstrous, radical Islamic force that's killing Christians, cutting off their heads. And they staged these films to make it look like that. In reality, we gave them that part of Iraq, and they're attacking and fighting and killing Syrians. So that's our enemy, is Syria. But Russia says, you know what? Syria is our friend. Syria is a friend of Russia. We're going to send our Air Force troops in. And so they have built two Air Force bases in Syria. And then they built a naval base in Syria. A naval base. They've got a naval base there with ships, destroyers, and so forth. They've got two Air Force bases. And yesterday, they began to use them. For the first time ever, Russia began to attack. Who do they attack in Syria? ISIS. And the Russian general made a statement. He said, if anyone else, for example, the United States, has military forces in Syria, you better take them out because we're going to kill them. Oh, my goodness. Well, America doesn't have any forces in Syria, do we? Yes, we do. We have our special forces there, our Green Beret. We also have our trainers there. And we have our ISIS people, these so-called monsters that we're supporting. And now Russia is helping Syria. Russia is using its aircraft and their bombs to attack ISIS. And America's all up in arms. No, no, we can't let you do that. No, no, we don't want you helping us. Because you see, Putin says, we're going to help you, America. For 4 years, you've been fighting ISIS. But you've been wasting your time. You haven't been doing anything. Your Air Force strikes have been ineffective. When in reality, they've been attacking Syria. They have not been attacking. He's making fun of them. He's mocking them, you see. Putin is saying, look, I know you're attacking Syria, but they haven't given up yet, have they? And now we're going to go help them. We're going to attack your forces, the ISIS. And Obama is about to have a heart attack. The neocon Jews are going nuts. They don't know what to do. Russia's fouling up their plans. They're saying Russia's a tyrant. Russia's going to conquer the Middle East. Russia's going to work with Iran. Iran is the one. Oh, yes, Russia's working with Iran, and they're going to use nuclear bombs, and they're going to go destroy Israel, and they're going to do blah, 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 blah. Shut up, propaganda bags. America's spreading all this propaganda. Russia, meanwhile, sits back and says, we're attacking ISIS. We're going to kick them out of Syria. And if you, United States, have your armed forces here, we can't discriminate. They're going to die. We're going to be attacking them too. Now America has to figure out what to do. We need to get our forces out of there. And of course, ISIS is going to be defeated by the Russians. The Russians are brutal. That's what's really going on. Chaos has descended. The Russians are trying to liberate, to free up the Syrians. And we want to conquer the Syrians. We want to bring destabilization. We don't want to bring a democratic government to Syria. Israel doesn't want democracy in Syria. They want to destroy Hezbollah and the Syrians. I'm glad that Russia is helping the Syrians. It's been too long, 4 years of destruction. All of these hundreds of thousands of refugees, 200,000 Syrians are coming to the United States, and they should. We should give them the money because look what we've done to their nation. What we need to do is pull out. Now, Donald Trump wants to pull out. Donald Trump said so on the Fox News, the O'Reilly Report. And O'Reilly liked to went nuts thinking about it. He liked to went crazy. But Donald Trump says, well, you don't want to go there. You don't want to send American troops there, do you? What good would it do for us to control them, to control and to run Syria? He knows there will be no democracy in Syria. There's no democracy in Iraq. There's no democracy in Afghanistan. There's no democracy in Jordan. And there's certainly no democracy in Israel. Well, this has been Tex Mars with a report on the Middle East and Israel. You see how they're strangling the Middle East. But there is hope. It's in the form of Russia, a country that once was our great enemy, a country that killed millions through communism, but now it's a free country. The freedom of the Russian people is greater than that of the United States. And the Russian people are not, they're not, 50% of them are not afraid of their own government. But in America, we are afraid. And we should be. We have tyrants at the top. I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.